students, and anyone else here tuning in for this podcast. My name is Maddie Haas, and here's another episode of Time to Talk with TKC, a podcast where we talk with interesting Kirkwood students or other people in the community about what they're interested in and perhaps just an interesting idea they have. And today I am here with two Kirkwood students, Max Reinert, he's a junior, and Jared Goudsmit, senior, and they have something to tell us about a competition they were in with the Missouri Thespian Association called Musical Works. So yes. I'll hand it off to one of you to start.
Yeah, well, thank you for calling us interesting.
Yes.
Max and I wrote a musical entitled The Wrath of the PTA. Mm-hmm. It's about a corrupt parent-teacher association and all of their machinations.
Ooh, good word.
And Max composed the music. I did book and lyrics. And we put together a wonderful opening number that was performed in front of a four-digit crowd?
Yeah,
a crowd of thousands.
Yes, we're very proud of that.
We're very proud of that. Of high school theater nerds from all over the state of Missouri at a big old fancy theater in Kansas City.
Yeah, it was a good time. Writing process was very unorganized.
We slapped it all together very much at the last second.
There were a couple things that happened. We were a little more organized at first.
We were going to be so on it.
Yeah,
like, we were going to be weeks in advance. We're turning it in. We've edited. We've polished.
And we turned 5 minutes before midnight.
And we turned it literally 11:55. It was glorious. And then I found out the next day it was deadlines include the day of.
Yeah.
But that's good because I needed the confirmation email. Yes. So it was good.
Yes, yes.
Oh, man. Yes,
Jared came up to me
backstage
during,
in the dressing room.
Yeah, called me a rat, as Jared does, and it kind of grew from there. He was like, "You write songs."
You rodent. You write songs, and I had been writing plays for a little bit, for a good while. And I was writing all sorts of different stuff. I wrote a thing called Derailed that made it into some of the competitions we're submitting to again this year. Mm-hmm. And I was trying to expand my horizons, write some more stuff, give myself a challenge. And we certainly did give ourselves that. Because I just knew I knew nothing about music. And all of a sudden I was like, wait, I see a light at the end of the tunnel. It's solid, too. Thank heavens that, because for Missouri Thespian Society, you got to be in a bunch of plays, and for Kirkwood, you've got to be a junior or a senior. Mm-hmm. So thank heavens.
Yeah,
an active thespian who does music. What a dude, Max.
Thank heavens for you. I'm at a loss for words because of compliments. But a fabulous playwright. And lyricist, and I can't get enough of how in-depth you go into all these things and how funny you can make stuff and how deep you can make stuff. It's great, Jared.
Could you guys talk a little bit about, the competition, requirements and everything and the actual thing you submitted?
Yeah.
So I think the biggest letdown for me was that it all had to be on one piano track.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, yes, I can get into this. And the first thing I said to Jared was, had, 12 different instruments, and, it was...
And I was like, that sounds wonderful and beautiful, and it can only be on an electronic piano.
And how long was it?
It had to be 5 to 7 minutes. So ours was, I think we got it just in the sweet spot, six and a half minutes.
Yeah.
6.5 minutes for it. And that includes, so it was, instead of making a full-fledged, musical arc... for the Missouri competition, you made an opening song that was 5 to 7 minutes, and it had to sort of set up what the rest of the play might be. And we did have to send in a synopsis of what the play would be. Mm-hmm. We basically just mashed together three songs to try and keep interest up and include a lot of...
It wasn't really an opening number.
It doesn't seem like it ever is.
Oh, they're just movements of the opening number.
Yeah.
We got by with that.
Yeah, we got away with it. Yeah. We're just like, no, it's just one really long song that also has a full scene of dialogue in the middle.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, gracious. But we got accepted, and we got nominated to win.
Yeah, we were.
I think the term nominated was cloudy for me, because I didn't understand.
You didn't realize, like,
we had actually won the entire thing until we got to the conference.
Yeah, and I was, and you were like, oh man, I wonder what the other musicals are going to be like, and I'm like, no, Max, there's one, it's us.
Yeah, I was like,
we are the musical, oh man,
yeah,
what a radical time.
So before we talk a little bit more about like what you did at the conference, I think that, you know, I would like to hear like a synopsis of the show and everything, and like
right.
Yes, of course.
Yeah. So The general plot line, the gist, is that there is a corrupt parent-teacher association, as they so often are, and there is the president, the committee chair, and that is, her name is Beth. She has a duplicitous vice chair named Nancy Grace. There's a secretary named Margaret, who is so done with the whole thing, just trying to get a little resume boost. She's not as personally invested. And then all of a sudden, an ambitious businessman named Bradley enters and tries to question the status quo and make himself the new committee chair. And so we don't really get to get into the whole election in the opening song version, but we introduce our PTA. We introduce those characters. We introduce and Gretchen.
One of them didn't make the final cut.
Gretchen didn't make the final cut because it was, little note for any of you writers out there, keep it minimalistic. Keep it minimal, because if you have too many set pieces or too many actors or too many whatever, you're not encouraging people to put on your show. Like, just have big characters, have few characters, as few as you can get. So even so, we still have a cast of six afterwards. Yeah. So it's like, And then, of course, there's the one dude on the committee. There's Todd, and he doesn't know what he's doing, the poor guy. But he's trying, and we love him for that.
Yeah.
But we see Beth is trying to keep a handle on everything going on. They get into a big old fight, which we do as sort of a patter song, which has been hearkened to Lin-Manuel. Oh, yikes. No, but like we have a little patter song going on where they all argue about trivia night and all these little insults and jabs, and Beth is losing control of everything. Nancy Grace comes to then Bradley enters and says, you know, hey, you don't have to vote for this garbage every year. You can vote for me. And you know, whatever I do, it'll be a radical change. And then he leaves and everybody's sort of vaguely intimidated. Beth goes and talks to Nancy Grace, and Nancy Grace acts as if she's on Beth's side, but you can get conniving vibes from her.
Yes.
And she sings an ode to the fact that Beth may have the title, but who has the real power here? And Beth feels the same way, that she's losing her grip on things. And that's where we have to cut things off for 6.5 minutes. But it's a good time.
It was really fun to do.
It was fun.
Yeah.
The production of it was... With what was really cool about Missouri Thespian Society, we got the chance to work with a professional. Did he do stuff on Broadway?
I don't know.
It doesn't really. He had done professional stuff. He's definitely in the inner circle of working on new works. So it was super insane to be able to work with him. And he, what was his name? Brian Curl. What a man.
Yeah, Brian Curl.
Good old Brian. And he was. And he just worked fast. I mean, the Missouri Thespian Conference, for those of you who don't know, it's like a weekend. It's like an extended weekend. It's like Thursday, Friday, Saturday. So there was not a lot of time to put together. And 6.5 minutes may not sound like much, but when there's dancing and there's singing and there's blocking and there's all sorts of running about, there is a lot to do in those 6.5 minutes. And 3 days is really not enough. But Brian moved super fast. Yeah. And we scheduled all kinds of get-togethers, like at 11 p.m. We'd all be, like, rehearsing and talking to the rhythm of the patter song because I like making actors suffer. So I give them verbose.
Poor Archer, who had to play Todd.
Poor Archer.
There's this one rhythm in it. And I do not... I blame Jared for this part. Because I didn't... I had the song, the accompaniment all planned out, and he's rapping over this. And he's...
It was... The rhythm was... Like, Beth goes, tell me your plans for trivia night. And Todd
right
goes...
Well.
Todd goes, right, well, I just found a site. Things look bright. Despite some claims, it's a real delight, and the rental deal's got a green light.
I don't think it ever actually really happened.
It never quite. But he covered well. Very, very yeah. well. Because he would always come in a little early on the despite, which makes sense because it's the only time in this whole, like, minute of patter that anyone breathes, like, yeah. in the middle of the line.
Yeah, yeah.
So I understand why his reflex was to go, you know, things look bright despite some claims it's a real delight and the rental deal's got a green light. Yeah. Like, but, you know, they pushed through it and it was entertaining. Yeah. I mean, considering the fact that it was minimal blocking and not more suited perhaps for a yeah. black box than for a full scale stage.
Yeah.
Yeah. Got a great response from the crowd. We got some laughs in there, which is pretty impressive for defining 7 different characters in 6.5 yeah. minutes, that people would recognize the characters enough that they could laugh at the jokes. It was a good time. It was just
it's a little stressful, especially I think I was less stressed at the conference than I was putting the songs together.
Yeah.
But they signed it back, I think, twice, because the first time we had just put it on a MIDI file, and then they're like, we want this on sheet music, and then I had to find this internet program and do that.
And learn it. And learn how to
use it.
Make that sheet music on there.
I'm not a sheet music person. My brain doesn't work that way. But, And then they're like, oh, this is great. Thanks for sending this in. We also need vocals and stuff like that. So then...
Yeah, they were like, we need the vocals on here so the pianist knows what to work off of. And we were like, no.
Yeah.
Why?
It's the last day crunch. We got it.
Literally the last day before the conference. Pianist was so impressive.
Oh, she was wonderful.
And I know that...
Like Lauren?
Yeah.
Laura.
Laurie.
She was a wonderful, wonderful woman.
Lore. Good old Lore. Focusing on the actors and taking responsibility for fixing the song if there's a mess up on the actor's part. Like, if the actor starts rushing, she would be the first one to correct before the actor even noticed. It was very impressive.
Yeah.
I don't know how they do that. It was insane.
But yeah, and as a pianist, like... My utmost respect to those people who can just look at a song on sheet music the first time and crank it out. Like, it was amazing what she did. Yeah.
Yeah, I just remember you walking up to her and saying, hey, so, you know, for the most part, the music is all set, and, you know, I hope you enjoy. But there is a part that I wrote that would require 3 hands.
Since I'm an electronic, normally... That's how I arrange my music electronically. I don't really ever take into account how possible music is to play with 2 hands on the piano. So I wrote one song, which is, I think, one of my favorite out of the 3 movements that we had that were originally performed, that had kind of 3 parts. There was a bum, 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 ba-da, and then there was a do, 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 right? And then you had, under that, you had... Do 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 do. So technically, it'd take 3 hands to do that.
With the first one being way down in the bass section, the other one being super high up for those creepy like Halloween movie vibes, and one just like dead center
middle. It would have been interesting to see a choir do that, but that was the accompaniment. And originally, we just cut the middle part out of it,
which is a tragedy.
But I mean. I don't think anyone would have noticed that much, to be honest, except a fellow musician who had looked it over.
Yeah, man, it was
quite the experience.
It was a really cool experience, and Brian Curl came in. He already had the choreography worked out.
Mm-hmm.
What was really nice, right, is from the writing perspective, you want to make sure that you are suggesting how the play will look visually, because there is definitely a visual element to theater, for sure. But you don't want to be controlling. So I wanted to say there's a PTA table, and you decide what that table looks like. But my mental image, which I was not trying to force on the director, but was sort of deep down, I hope that I've suggested this in such a way that each production would come to their own conclusion, mm-hmm. was I imagined this lengthy, menacing PTA table, maybe with that little curve that they have, yeah. you know, really encircling you like a shark around prey. I liked that image. Of course, you know, we weren't going to get a rounded PTA table, but the first thing that Brian said when he was in rehearsals with us is he said, the table's got to be long. It's got to be menacing. It's got to be Last Supper-ish, except yeah. instead of peace and love, they're preaching evil. And so it was like immediately, it was like, good, I've done something right.
We would watch him put stuff together, and like mm-hmm. every like 5 seconds, we'd just look at each other and be like, it's yep, so that, cool.
Exactly,
it was amazing.
It was great.
And all of our cast members were amazing too.
Meeting yeah. up for literally a total of twice as many rehearsals yeah. as were scheduled.
Yeah, and they were all like hardworking, and I think it went all right for only 2 days.
Yeah, it went. It was very impressive for only 2 days.
Yeah,
including the bit where Brian made Hannah stand on top of a table
yeah.
for her solo, and the table was just like very poorly made and on the verge of collapse, and she was like, "I don't want to die."
Yeah, it was.
But she yeah. committed for the part. Well done.
Yeah. Another highlight, I think, was having the musical works name tag.
Yeah, prestige.
We all had name tags, and Jared and I got little
like ribbons,
legs. Yeah,
yeah, we, with the little serrated edge on the bottom that said "Musical Works" in this wonderful gold leaf. It was so nice.
Yeah, did people come up and like ask you about it?
No,
no,
yeah, no. No. Yeah. Oh, but we like to think that people are like, oh.
I liked when we when we. It was brutal because we would go. The very first day when auditions were, like, the night that we arrived was auditions. Oh, and so nobody really knew what they were doing.
Yeah.
So we had to make sure people knew to audition for our show. So we spread the word and we're going up to random strangers, as you do, and encouraging them to audition for the musical. And some of them actually showed up.
Yeah.
It's kind of brutal. I mean, I don't think that any of the people other than – like some people from Kirkwood got cast, but other than that, like none of the people we talked to ended up getting cast. Yeah, but it was good to have them because it was a very difficult decision. We had a lot yeah. of really solid auditions. My word.
Yeah, it was. It's very odd to be on, since like both of us have auditioned for shows before. It's very really weird to be on the other side of the table. You get to experience some things you didn't know, like holding like when you see like an audition that's not very impressive to hold back the laughter
or the grimace or something.
Yeah, not that we're like bad people and would laugh at
not terrible. Like we're that.
Yeah,
not, but it's. I think what's gracious.
Put this.
Well, it was interesting because I feel like I've made a lot of those mistakes before.
Yeah,
and I didn't realize how bad they looked until I was on the other side. Mm-hmm. Like, stand farther away from the table. Just just farther, because it'll feel natural to you. But when you're sitting in a chair and you're looking at this actor and they are just towering over you like they're about to, you know, knock you out, it's like, please back up. I beg you. Because you also want to see how they stand and how they hold themselves.
Yeah.
Here's a tip, don't shuffle around when you're auditioning. It can be a perfectly wonderful performance, but if you're shuffling around, it's like, oh, it's their discomfort. They aren't comfortable with this. They can't handle the stage.
Yeah.
You can't help but think that way.
Brian Curl, who was at auditioned with us, the director, he was he'd always make comments. He'd be like,
It was kind of brutal, man.
Yeah, he was
pretty
he'd be like, "We're going to cut you off. Just guaranteed. Don't be offended.
Don't be offended." He was, and he was, he would sort of, this was kind of rough, he would sort of smirk at people when they said that they were singing a certain song that was perhaps overdone.
Yeah.
So if a kid said Hamilton, he'd go, oh, I've never heard of that. What's that? Yeah. And it would his timing was impeccable, I will admit, because they would always go, oh, it's the... Because they would really think for a second that this theater educator had never heard of Hamilton. They would really think for that split second. Poor fools.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's...
Stressful.
I guess he was breaking the ice, I guess. But
do you really break ice at an audition?
Right, yeah. It was uncomfy, but I guess he was trying to see if people could handle the pressure.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're on stage... I mean, it was a big crowd. I think we said this. It's like something thousand people. That's bigger than... I don't think that... Like, the majority, at least, if not all of our actors, had never been in front of a crowd that big.
Yeah, no. I don't think... Like...
I've never performed in front of a crowd that big.
It's hard to believe, like... I think what you're auditioning for or what is actually happening, and you don't really, like, realize.
It doesn't sink in. Until they're like, no, you're performing at the end session.
Yeah. Yeah.
Man.
Yeah, it was auditions were really cool.
Literally a larger audience than the national version of the same competition.
Yeah.
Literally, like, five times as large.
Okay, so tell us about the national.
Right. Okay. So, we wrote an opening song for Missouri. But to submit national, you have to make a full arc, a storyline, book, and music and lyrics. A full-on story, 20 minutes or less, with music. You have to make a mini musical. And so we had written songs, but we had not written that.
I got sick on the last day, and we were supposed to we were supposed to work on the songs, but then I was confined to my hotel room.
Right, yeah.
Heaving, yeah.
And then at the very last second, because it's just such a cool competition, it's too cool of an opportunity to miss, I felt terrible. I was like, I was on the verge of tears out of guilt, texting Max, "Max, I know you are deathly ill, but if you die doing this, then it's all worth it." And he wrote... And I was just like, can you just like make GarageBand files, which is not a just sentence. It's not a sentence that should have just, because it is extremely elaborate. You got to put in every single note. Mm. And then Max responds 4 hours later with all of it for all the songs and vocal tracks. And I was like, no, wait, I didn't. Thank you. I mean, you made my job easier, so thanks.
There's a couple songs. It was stressful, a little bit stressful,
yeah.
But maybe I work well under pressure. Creativity is pushed out of me better.
Oh yeah, with a deadline.
There were like some things, like I had ideas for vocals and stuff. I just couldn't leave out of there because I was like, oh, Jared would love this. So I was like, I was sick, and I'm like, singing the vocals,
singing.
But and then there were a couple places where I was like, I feel like Jared would be able to do this better, and I sent
and you
them
sent
those
yeah.
areas so Jared could fill in what he.
It was
had,
good.
Yeah,
I only made one edit to your music, which was copy and pasting one of your chords for that ending chord of Beth's.
Oh
solo.
Yeah, I know. Yeah,
those were brutal. I loved that.
Wow.
Oh, there was Your sick voice sounds better than my voice. That was brutal. I was like, why is he still better at singing than me? He is deathly ill. This is not fair.
Yeah. There's for Todd's. It's really high, and I was like, I'm gonna make this really high, and like it was like really late. It was late at night, and somehow my voice, which is it's normally not in my range at all.
Thank heaven for the disease.
I don't know what happened, but it was really high,
yeah,
and
man.
I didn't expect it to come out. I thought I was going to be like, ah! But it wasn't. It was pretty. I don't want to try and imitate it.
No, you're good.
Now.
All right, so I want to talk background. So tell both of you have your moment, and tell us about why you're into writing music, Max,
mm-hmm.
and Jared, you're into kind of the more of the scripting part.
The story.
And the storyline. So, Max, you go first. Tell
okay.
us about it.
So, I mean, ever since, like, I was a kid, I've just been, like, my family hasn't been like, it isn't like a crazy music family, but it's always been a music family. And I've been very supported by music and all that kind of stuff throughout my life. And like since a young age, I kind of knew I wanted to do something with the arts, right? And like it kind of came together probably at the end of my eighth grade year that I definitely wanted to do music for the rest of my life. And then after that, I just work really hard at my music as much as I could because I have poor self-discipline and time management. So as much as I can, I work on my music, and I've been really proud of that. I mean, not typically, musicals aren't what I write. So I was very, surprised that this turned out. But I normally like to, you know, write in electronic.
Like what kind of
I like, my favorite personal kind of music is like 70s funk, 70s pop hits. Those are really, really fun. It's hard to do that with electronic instruments, though, because there's a lot of acoustic stuff. But I love writing that, and I've produced like electronic music like for rappers and stuff like that before. You got to tell them, all right, here's this. Don't disgrace what I made, you know. But I just love it. It's so interesting. It's like a sixth sense, you know. I mean, I know there's more than five senses, but like it's an added sense onto there where I get of expression, or, you know, like sometimes feelings come out in music to me, and I have this thing. There's it's a condition. It's not like a bad condition, it's a good condition, a positive net effect, where words and music and I forget what it's called, in my brain it transforms into color. So like certain words
synesthesia.
They're different colors.
So
different. I have that, and it's really.
Well, that makes sense.
It's really vivid, and I feel like it's a very big advantage, and because I can. Like, I'm like, oh, I'm feeling this color, and I'm feeling this chord goes to this color.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's very fun. And
cheat.
Yeah, like this, I'm feeling an orange song. Yeah.
So wait, could you describe the colors of
Yeah, I haven't heard this. Yeah, wait.
Musicals, so the opening song. Definitely red. There's no doubt in my mind that it's like a red, probably not like a bright red, but like a maroon.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes. Yes.
Yes.
second song, which is Bradley's. It's very it's definitely it's probably something purple, a combination two colors, probably purple and green, and a warmer purple because it still has a kind of fiery presence, passion.
Two for
and,
two.
And two green two is also kind of sneaky and vile and stuff like that, and I think like it really comes together. But the purple, and because it's red and blue, mixes like the darkness of Bradley and his bass and everything. I think it's really
his
cool.
Menace with his
yes. His third movement is definitely like a cool blue green because the way it's more of an arpeggiated thing where it's bum bum doo doo doo. It's very flowy, like waves in an ocean. It's definitely like a cyan, a darker cyan.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, and then of course for the reprise, it's another red. This one feels a little more like brighter, almost a red orange, you know, because it's just at the end there's a flare, and the last chord there's like a flare of yellow. It's like welcome to the PTA.
And you have it. What's the word? You ran the whole hand.
Yeah, glissando. He goes
beautiful.
It was very very fun. Yes.
What color is the 5/4 song that we
5/4 song? Oh, that's probably another reddish purple. Another one. Yeah.
I feel that.
Some browns mixed in for some reason, cuz it's dragging me towards like a maroon.
Yeah. It's some military.
Dun, 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 dun.
So it's like you could almost pull from your head for some stage lighting there, I feel like.
Yeah,
interesting. Yeah.
So, but I feel like maybe because I'm a little more tilted towards the visual and the musical side, I lack a lot in my words, in my way to express words, because what I just did, I expressed it in colors, you know?
Yeah.
In music. I feel like a lot of time I've had hard times writing very intricate lyrics and stuff like that. I tend to use very, when I do write lyrics, it's very ironic, as in it's not very complex. It's just words that sound cool together, more like, or phrases that sound cool together.
Fun
and rhymes. have a theme, but they're not going to be complex at all, and they're not going to, they might not hit you hard, but my goal for like words is for the theme to hit you hard, which normally does not affect anyone. Yeah, unless you like listen to very wonky beats and pop or stuff like that. A couple artists like Zach Villaire, he's really good with that kind of stuff. My favorite band, Wolfpack, does some wonky lyrics. But that's my perception. And to reach a large audience, I feel like Jared is fantastic at what he does with his he can really think really well into that area. I'll let him do his writing now. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I feel like writing a story, writing an effective arc, mm-hmm. is, and even just dialogue, is a lot like music. I would say it's all about the rhythm of things and having the audience follow the train of thought mm-hmm. of the characters at the same time. It's one thing to just tell the audience stuff, but if you can have a character say something, but think this, and the audience immediately, unconsciously thinks the same exact thing, mm-hmm. then you are presenting it well. But I don't. It is. It's like a weird path that you have to. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh man. But it's fun. It's fun with the musical, because the most annoying thing about writing plays in my book is that I always feel like I'm hitting a point too hard. Like I'm hitting something and I'm like making something too obvious. And I've said, hey, everybody, look at this. This is important to the plot. I always feel like I'm hitting the audience over the head and that I don't trust them enough. And then I workshop the play and I go somewhere like with Derailed. They were like, that's what you meant? Because that's not even nearly clear. I love it. It adds layers, but you haven't communicated it at all.
Yeah.
And I always feel like I'm hitting people over the head. What's wonderful about musicals is the audience wants to be hit over the head. The audience wants to hear a whole song about this topic. Mm-hmm. So if there's a point that needs to be emphasized, it's obvious because it's song time, you know? Mm-hmm. It's time for, if a character wants to communicate, I feel kind of threatened by this person, like mm-hmm. in the Beth and Nancy Grace thing. Yeah. They just sing about it. Otherwise, I'd have to, like, slip it under the radar. You know, I'd have to have them be, though we do certainly have the passive-aggressive whatever. But it's nice because we can focus more on the characters and the story, because the whole musical format, it's much easier to make points clear. And some people will criticize it and say, like, oh, well, the musical is too surface level. I don't think so. I think that it adds – I think that often the music and the dialogue can accompany each other beautifully and strengthen each other. I mean, without it, you couldn't have as new. Without the story, you couldn't have as nuanced of lyrics because nobody would know what was going on. And the music adds all this power to the story. It's wonderful. And I'd never written a musical before, of course. And it was super rad. But I mean, I've always been doing little like puppet shows at home when I was a little like toddler. It was always an interest. I'd say it would really have started back in eighth grade when I started making films, The Ethicist, which was mostly out of necessity because who else is going to write a script for me? Though I did get a wonderful editor, Sam Purrier. Shout out to Sam Purrier. Great editing all the time. But just for writing something from the ground up, I had to do it if I wanted to make a movie out of something, because I didn't have anything to make a movie out of. And trial and error. I started writing, and the writing was originally really trashy and over the top and verbose. But that's how you improve. You just write a bunch of nonsense until it's not nonsense anymore.
That's very, very thoughtful way of putting
very,
it.
Very, very profound way.
Yes.
See, look at him using his words.
Yeah, like, see, I was like thoughtful. Jared's like profound.
Profound.
Yeah.
Oh, synonyms. Oh, man. It's... But we are submitting to, and I'm super excited about, I really hope, I think we have a really good shot. Mm-hmm. Fingers crossed. It's long odds no matter, you know, what you write. but we submitted to the Young Playwrights Festival in Los Angeles, which is unlikely because it's a cast of six and has music, so it would be difficult for them to handle. But they are still going to look at it and consider it, and we'll see. And then the other one being Thespian Musical Works that's national. And man, the additional songs are so good. Mm-hmm. The story arc is so good and lends itself to the songs much better now. Because, I mean, with an opening song, you can't really do the music a good service because there's not enough.
And even then, almost can't do the rest of the show a good service if you're leaving out
a lot
of feelings that people feel.
Yeah, and leaving out plot points that are, I mean, we had to simplify. Mm-hmm. Even though from the very beginning the whole idea was, you know, Nancy Grace is going to betray Beth. We had to simplify it for the shortened version and have it be Nancy Grace wants a certain brand of cookies and Beth doesn't want those cookies, so now they're mad at each other. Like,
you know, there's stuff you gotta cut for the sake of. And even then they were like, this is a lot. This is a dialogue heavy opening song.
I'm
like, my bad.
Oops.
That's just how it goes. Oh, man.
Yes. But high hopes.
High hopes.
If you want to check it out, it is on SoundCloud. It is, my account name is King of the Rats. And it's the first result up there, Wrath of the PTA. The photo is me in my Boy Scout uniform with rats crawling over my body. So yeah, give it a look.
Also, you should check out Max's SoundCloud if you're.
Yes, you should check out Max.
It's Maxi Reinhardt, M-A-X-I-E, Reinhardt, R-E-I-N-H-A-R-T, and you can check out a song that I did with my friend Joey. It's called Inside My Head. That one's new, and some wonky stuff about feels. They're more it's lo-fi hip hop. Like some very J Dilla influenced, it's very different from what you will hear on Jared's SoundCloud.
All right, this is it. This is a very artsy photo.
Thank you.
If y'all check out professional photos, Maxi Reinhardt. Look at this. My word, that's artsy.
Okay, well, I appreciate you guys coming and talking. Yeah,
we appreciate you, Maddie.
Yeah, we appreciate you, Maddie. Thanks for having us.
Yeah, so that was Max Reinhardt and Jared Goudsmit. Check out their musical, The Wrath of the PTA, or at least the first song of their musical.
Coming to theaters.
Yeah.
Funny. On Jared's SoundCloud.
Yeah.
King of the Rats.
King of the Rats. Be sure if you get anything out of this, it should be that you should follow our SoundClouds.
All right.
Oh, man. Yeah.
Thank you, man.
Thank you for having us. It's a great day to be a pioneer.
That's our show, Kirkwood. And the end.